based upon universal integrities. And as the individuals are no longer trained in these integrities, we have the problems we have today. I remember many years ago a great stew that was raised against the Asclepian oath in connection with medicine. No one wanted to swear that they would use healing primarily for the common good. There was a little element of profit in it somewhere that had to be emphasized, and the code had to be rewritten to allow it. Well, it doesn't make any difference how we rewrite anything. The infinite plan goes on. The Asclepiads of old were priests of the temple. They were a family descended from the gods. They had their own ideals, their own dreams, and their own purposes. And they served as a priesthood the needs of the sick. It was in Rome that medicine was secularized for the first time, and within 5 years a whole group of laws had to be enacted to prevent malpractice. Up to that time, no such laws were necessary. Where there's no profit, there's not much malpractice. But we have forgotten that the glory of help, the glory of helping those who are in need, is part of a basic religion. And without this basic religion tempering all our conduct, we will always have mistakes and misfortunes to labor from. So we have to think very definitely that the miseries we're in right now are the strongest inducements to the attainment of faith that anything could happen to us. Now is the time when the need for faith means that we have to have something to live for besides the privilege of exploiting each other. Those days are gone. And yet the individual without faith and without ideals, if he is deprived of his physical advantages, is going to be very unhappy. In fact, in his ignorance, he may turn upon those who are his benefactors. The exploitation principle is now deeply enmeshed in human character. But it doesn't make any difference how deeply it is there. It will not succeed, and it must inevitably fail. So we have to work together now to see how to do something about this. I think probably most people have some interest. Maybe one individual likes to paint and another one likes to go out and wander in the woods. Someone likes to sit quietly and read, and a few, unfortunately, enjoy murder on television. But the actual fact of the matter is we've got to start with what assets we have. And our assets are our needs and the gradual realization of those needs. We have to build upon whatever talent is available. If you're a musician, that is your talent. If you're a poet, that is your talent. A photographer, the same. Now, this talent must tell something to you. The talent is not simply that you can make a picture that can sell or write a piece of music that can be sold. All these things bear witness to one point, that there is a creativity within yourself, and that this creativity within yourself can be unfolded, enriched, until it becomes the scientific foundation for your faith. Upon the evidence of your own sensory perceptions, upon the evidence of the accomplishments of certain practices through effort, through struggle, you gradually come to the realization that faith is something that is founded upon achievement, founded upon proof, and the proof of faith is that you yourself are happier. It is the faith that will relieve you of the false values which will continue to curse you as long as you live, unless you do something about them. Now, in schools of learning, therefore, every university should realize that regardless of what it thinks about itself or knows about itself, it is actually a church. Because anything from the language up, from the alphabet on, has sacred significance. Every art and science that is given carries with it moral responsibilities. And if these are not accepted and assumed, if these are not recognized and taught, the education will produce a group of highly schooled rascals whom we'll have to live with in spite of our miseries. It is necessary, therefore, that the university, not necessary that it builds a chapel on the college grounds. That was one of the problems that faced University of Chicago. Nearly every rich individual who died with a bad conscience wanted to donate another chapel to the university grounds until they had all the chapels they wanted. But what one of the professors told me what they were looking for was nuclear equipment. They were right in the first place. The actual fact of the matter is that every school from the kindergarten on has to be part of bringing the individual to the maturity necessary to enable him to prove so conclusively the integrities of life that he loses all interest in breaking them down. He knows before he starts that there is nothing but misery. He pretty well knows that today. But he hasn't changed his own inner life. He always thinks of himself as the one dishonest person who is going to survive. Even if he survives, it means nothing, because nothing that he has done is significant to himself or anyone else. The poor standard of homes, all the different difficulties that are coming out socially, are the result of misuse of values. They're the perversion of things by nature right and good. They're the exploitation or commercializing of things which were intended for common use. So the school has to have it. There's no need for a theological education. There is no need of combating or the idea of converting individuals to one sect or another. These are all more or less superstitions. Sectarianism is a form of error, if it is held that way. But an individual who has outgrown it knows why it exists, and therefore does not attempt to abuse anyone because of his religion or his beliefs. But we are working toward something that we have to find, and that is somewhere every scientist is looking for facts. Facts are the physical shadows of truths. Now we are not only satisfied with that, but in the days ahead, we must gradually ascend from facts to realities. And finally, from realities we come into the presence of that all-powerful, inevitable reality which we approach with faith. We know that that reality cannot fail. We know that that reality is absolutely just. We know that all of our mistakes are the mistakes of children. When we correct the mistakes, we will be promptly forgiven. What we must make some move towards reconciling personal conduct with that which is universal morality. We can't keep on breaking every rule and expecting the next administration to take care of it. There is no political system in the world that really can convert an individual who is dedicated to self-centeredness and selfishness. He will get into power and he and the world suffer together. So we need to begin in the schools. We need the children to do what they did for a number of years in Japan and all the schools. I think they probably are becoming so industrialized now, they probably will forget it also. But the grammar school grading 30 years ago was, for the school, ethics, reading, writing, and arithmetic. Ethics first. In the high school, it was ethics first. In the universities, it was ethics first. And we should need a little of it over here. We should have ethics as part of education. We should have the right to be right manifested, supported, and rewarded. We should have the knowledge before we get into higher education that all education is dedication. And that without dedication, education is meaningless. The individual who gets educated only to work for a few years till he can retire on a pension, this is part of a cycle of death that leads nowhere. Yet each of us has within himself or herself the power to think through things, to rise above temporality, to accomplish that which is necessary. But for some reason, we are in a state of inertia. Maybe it is a problem of stress, but we were the ones that created the stress. It was not something that was wished upon us by heaven. There is nothing here that we have created that is a trouble to us that was not created by a power within ourselves which was given to us to do things well. We have disused the faculties and skills that we have. We have advanced the skills but not the dedications. We know more about things than we ever did before, and less about that one thing which we have vacantly and abstractly called truth. So we have this problem now all the time, that we've got to find something firm enough that it can act as a foundation for further your growth. We've got to have something we can fall back on, something that can come out and help when everything else fails, something that is stronger than any uncertainty, more enduring than any problem, and more rewarding than any temporal activity. We've got to build faith in reality, faith in truth. We've got to learn to know that if we keep the faith will keep us. When we break faith with faith, we are in great trouble. So today we have many religious groups that are working in these directions, working for new ways of overcoming or transmuting the mistakes that have brought with them the tragedies of recent years. We are trying now to build into civilization principles that will endure. And yet the majority of humanity is simply unaware of these principles, or unaware that they are necessary. To most people, any frustration of their right to be selfish is a disaster, and they will defend their own mistakes to the bitter end, and if necessary will perform all kinds of evil and commit many crimes in order not to correct their own mistake. This will not function very much longer. We have told that the atmosphere is dangerously polluted. We are warned of volcanic disorders of one kind or another. We are warned of economic and disasters, of health disasters, of the exhaustion of natural resources. We are warned that within 100 years our population will be too great to endure on a little planet like this under the rules that now prevail. So population growth itself must result in a change of rules. No matter how we view the future, we are in trouble. We have wasted a large part of our birthright. We have destroyed the very source of our own securities. So we have to try to rebuild. But we will not rebuild unless we have some faith in something more important than the mistakes we are making. We must build for a future because we believe in a future. We must save our various values and our natural abilities because we believe that they are important. We must do everything that we can to conserve resources, even though we might like to spend it all today. Actually, as you look around, the whole world is in trouble, all on account of the types of mistakes it is making. I don't think anyone is really greatly in trouble because a nation did it well. Nearly every problem has been abused and exploited, and we are falling back on the idea of violence to solve ignorance. And violence can never solve ignorance. The only thing that can solve ignorance is wisdom. But wisdom in itself can be worldly wisdom. There are many very capable and interesting intellectuals who are known to have considerable worldly wisdom. This won't do it. No matter how much wisdom we have nothing if we do not have love. And when we have love combined with wisdom, we have faith. Something has to happen to bring us back to this new childhood, this new kind of a world that we are going to get into one of these days, a world in which we are all going to start again and come back to a better kind of globe than we have ever known before. But to do this, we all have to start learning. Maybe we won't learn it all in this life, probably won't. But we can be a little better prepared for the ones that must come after us, and ourselves when that time comes. There is great talk going around about the probabilities of a major change in human affairs at the beginning of the next century. That is about as long as what we're doing now can hold up. Well, I sometimes wonder if it's going to hold up that long. But certainly there will be changes. And everyone indicates that the changes they want are good changes. But when the time comes, most of these people are going to be talked out of it. They're going to fall back on the idea that they can appoint a guardian to take care of them, that some social group or some individual can lead them to the promised land. Up to the present time, no one has been too successful in that. Even Moses was not permitted to go into the promised land himself. He showed the way, but he could not go in. And it is the same way with all these different problems that we face. We cannot depend upon individuals to protect us from ourselves. I think the Oriental has a very good view on this particular problem. Perhaps the Zen masters are among those most talented. They have recognized the sovereign value of a brief period of time each day devoted to faith. That in a world that is busy with everything you can think of, and a world that wastes hours and hours a day on various poor programs and entertainment, the individual feels they have very little time in which they can think, or has very little entire interest in thinking. It's all a matter of social security and a job and those types of things. And in the midst of it all, homes are falling apart, young people are becoming more and more restless and delinquent, and everything is going from bad to a little worse, and everybody is doing just as they always have. The Zen masters, one of the first things to do is to set aside a little bit of time to the simple purpose of thinking. Pythagoras advocated this, and then the disciplines of retrospection and meditation, that the individual should at some time each day for 5 minutes, or maybe even less, just a couple of minutes, think through things straight, even though he may not have the courage to do what he thinks. But if he thinks this way long enough and becomes more and more aware of the possibility of enriching his own life, the chances are that he will be impressed. One thing he will do that might impress him a little more than most things, he'll save a lot of money. Because we are now using a vast amount of money simply to forget ourselves. Because we can't stand ourselves. We can't be quiet alone. We become bored or practically hysterical, or finally become under psychiatric care unless we have something to keep us busy every minute with trivia. But if the individual could do a little thinking, he can also find a judgment for it. He can take something he wants to know that would be in the right direction, and he can use it for a few minutes every day. He can go back to a school in which he has learned to be the teacher himself. He can find the texts and works necessary to give him the next step of personal inspiration. If he needs to join groups to do it, so fine. But if he is not inclined in that direction, he may do it himself. But to the Zen people, it is simply a problem of recognizing the importance of being still in order to know. That there is no way of knowing while your frontal mind is busy committing acrobatics. Where there is no way of getting these insights you need if the brain is a haunted house. It has to be something that is done in quietude. We find usually that we can't even control our own thoughts, let alone trying to control the world, we can't control ourselves. But little by little, we can increase this control. We can use the faculties we have to do something worthwhile. And in the Zen concept, silence becomes the doorway to faith. Silence becomes the means of gradually extricating the faculties from the horrors and miseries of daily experience. Silence is peace, and the power of eternity abides in peace. Silence is a communion with the over-self or the all-self, and this communion can become the basis of a beautiful dedication. And this dedication is necessary to anyone who wants to live a little better in this confused world. So in the presence of the humdrum, and the worse than that, the discordant, there is the possibility of quietude. For in the quietude of things, we live in the universe as it was before man was invented. Or might we better say evolved. The universe was at peace until minds came in with the right to grow and make a better world. The civilizations we know were laboratory experiments in the unfoldment of the potentials of human consciousness. They were ways in which we could show how much we knew. Instead of that, we have gradually become expert in showing how much we do not know through the constant mistakes that we make and have not the common sense or even decency to correct them. So nature has given us a very simple curriculum. Well, how to do it? We can all do it. Every school of religion and important philosophy in the world has had its meditational life. It had its quietudes, had its efforts to search into the mysteries of first cause, had the infinite desire to find out the reason for existence. It has been assumed that that quest is vain. They will tell us that it can't be done, that there is no way of knowing. This is true if we try to use the outward methods. But internally, there is always a road open. There is never a moment when the path inward cannot be found if we want it badly enough. The great problem is that we have not really sought for it. What we want to do is to go inward and at the same time be as prosperous as possible on the outside. And the combination of conflicts, the search for realities, and a code of life that cherishes unreality, the desire to be better but not give up anything about being worse, always we're trying to dichotomize these things so that we can carry water on both shoulders. We can pray for benefits and at the same time abuse all of the laws and purposes of life. It becomes obvious that this isn't possible. And now we are beginning to see it. And for a long time, there wasn't much we could do about it if we did see it. The world was in slavery to very false systems that had endured for long periods of time and which had to go. But now the average person has the right to build something better. Our own country was created by men and women of vision who wanted to give this world a better place to live in. We have gradually mistaken the meanings of things. We have lost our true dedication to the integrities of our own systems of life. We must find them again and outgrow them and go on to something better. We cannot get rid of them, though, without outgrowing them. All progress is an upgrowing. There is not one step that is taken, which we call progress, that isn't merited by consciousness and conduct. These must work together to accomplish the purpose. And therefore, in our search for faith, we must earn it. We must need it. We must desire it. We must dedicate to it. And in doing it, we can do it very simply to start with. Just gradually become aware that there is a universe, that we are citizens of it, that we will always be citizens of it, unless we put ourselves in exile by our own mistakes. And no matter how bad the exile is, we will always return. The first step towards the correction of our own weaknesses is the first step towards union and joining in with universal realities. Faith is the only instrument we have. We have to make it strong. We have to do all that we can to strengthen its contribution. We must build into it every truth discovered by science, every bit of wisdom gathered by philosophers, all of the beauty given us by art, all the truth revealed through science, all of them are parts of the same faith. It is where we have taken the faith out of them that we have failed. We have assumed that we could unite the bodies without uniting the soul. We have believed that these arts and sciences are separate beings. They're not. They're merely the manifestations of one eternal principle. All of these things, every artist draws nothing but that which is in within himself. And if his drawings are rather strange, it's because he's rather strange. But in all matters, the inner life is the key. So we have to begin to work on this idea that nothing will live without faith. No merchant can succeed without faith. And faith is not in the faith of his product. It is the faith of his own character in the handling of his product. It is the wisdom and skill and conscience within himself that ultimately determines the success of his enterprise. So I think for the average person, we start with something with faith. We can look around us in things that have already happened. We will find things we did well and we're glad of it. We will find things that we made mistakes and suffered the penalties. Also, we will be able to look around us in civilization and see others making the same mistakes and also making the same corrections. If we watch the corrections, then we are following what Bacon called experimentation. Society has been experimenting with life for a long time. Science has been experimenting with life. And the only thing that science has really learned is that whatever it is, we're not doing it the right way. And having discovered that, we begin to search for the right way. And Bacon gave the novum organum, or the new organ of learning, and an organ that it combined spiritual integrities with intellectual and physical facts. The proof of morality in the laboratory. The proof of philosophy in the merchandising. The proof of wisdom in the commonplace. The proof of maturity in the child. The proof of fidelity in the home. All these things work out. And wherever the rules are broken, something is lost. And ultimately, one who breaks the rules must pay. So faith is established on the realization that we live in an absolutely honest universe, and that there's nothing we can do about that except be honest ourselves or suffer. We are in a universe that has purpose. We don't know what our purpose is most of the time. We are in a universe that has a future and knows where it's going. We don't. But we can gradually develop a sufficient structure of facts available to us so that we can begin to trust a future because we know the principles and laws governing action and we have discovered some of their workings. It is perfectly possible for us to gradually and in reasonable time make the changes in ourselves. These changes may not all happen at once. And we may go out of this embodiment with these changes only partly made, but that isn't important. Nothing is important because we're going to come back with the new changes and be that much further ahead. And because of what we learn now, those who are coming into birth 1,000 years from now will be much wiser and better than we are, because we are them and we are growing up. Growth is measured not in the cycle of a single embodiment, but in the terms of ages. And the progress continues as long as integrities grow within people. Now, there are going to be a lot of people go out of life this time without integrities. They must come back, too. We will have some trouble with them again. Death is a change of worlds, but not a change of character. Therefore, whatever we live by and die by, we will be reborn by. And in order to escape the difficulties that we are harassed with today, we must change ourselves so that when we return, those particular ills have been already corrected. In working these things out, there's a little common sense comes into it, and common sense is very good in helping with faith, because faith in a mysterious way is the common sense. It is something that we instinctively know and carefully avoid. It is something that we believe in, but it interferes with other beliefs that are less important. So the problem is to get faith up front where it belongs, to get it to the point where it can give us the strength to face adversity and the courage and wisdom to build a better future. Individually we need it, racially we need it, nationally we need it, and for that matter we're not sure that the planet doesn't need it, because we have been exploiting a planet that was given to us for a garden and have changed it into a garden of weeds. This has to be changed. There will be enough if we do it right. We can overcome all scarcity. We can carry with success twice the population of the present planet and carry it decently if we stop being selfish, if we stop trying to exploit each other and realize that in the one great family, loyalty to each must be achieved through loyalty to all. If we get loyal and get down and do the things that are necessary, we could have one of the prettiest planets that there ever was or ever will be. And we will be very much better off and rather happy in this planet doing the things that we ought to do. When that happens, we know that faith has come. Well, that's it, folks.